Welcome to the Dermatology Interest Group Association podcast, or DIGA podcast, where we talk about everything from how to become a stellar dermatology applicant to interesting topics in dermatology.
From research advice to interviewing tips, you will be prepared to follow the path to become a world-class dermatologist.
Welcome to another episode of the DIGA podcast. I'm your host, Mark Conley, and today I have with me Dr. Christy Nwankwo. Dr. Nwankwo shares with us her experience of matching at NYU's dermatology program after completing medical school at a school that doesn't have a home dermatology program, something that's extremely impressive. In addition, she shares with us some tips and tricks of how to do well on your clerkships, with providing some resources of where you can learn more about dermatology on the fly. She also shares with us her experience of completing a fellowship at the NIH, how she was able to apply for that, and what the experience was like and how it impacted her career. Lastly, she shares with us her Instagram, so I'll include that in the show notes, as well as the references to the places that you can learn more about dermatology in the show notes. So be on the lookout for that. But without further ado, we'll see you on the skin side.
All right. Welcome to another episode of the DIGA podcast. We're so grateful to have Dr. Christy Nwankwo joining with us today. Thank you so much, Christy, for being here. Do you mind introducing yourself?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mark. So I'm Christy. I was born and raised in Oklahoma. And then I went to med school as well as undergrad at UMKC in Kansas City. And now I'm doing my internship at Baylor All Saints. And then I'll be headed to New York City for my derm residency at NYU.
That's incredible. We're so grateful to have you here. It's such a unique opportunity to interview somebody that's going to such a well-known and amazing program. So I appreciate your time. Just kind of getting into the general story of what led you to choose dermatology. And you mentioned to me before we started that you're specifically interested in kind of hair pathology and how to alleviate some of those issues for patients. Can you explain that as well?
Yeah, happy to share. Yeah, I would say for me, my biggest interest in derm so far is hair. And so for me, I've always been interested and curious in hair, like as a kid. I know that's kind of weird to say, but I was always curious about just like hairstyles, hair as we use it as a form of expression. And then gaining more clinical experience and being in med school, I learned more about hair pathology, disorders of the hair, hair loss, and learned about how dermatologists play a role in understanding and doing research on these topics. So interest in hair, as well as just really a intrigue and curiosity on all derm conditions. I think dermatology is a pretty cool field, the day-to-day practice of it and a lot of the pathologies. Other things that stick out to me are just like scarring disorders and pigmentary disorders, as well as some inflammatory disorders. So yeah, hair is my biggest interest, but there's really too much to love about derm.
Absolutely. Totally agree. And with that, did you have any mentors that helped you along the way that kind of got you interested in dermatology or just helped you in your journey?
Yes, I feel like mentors in med school are very important. I would say I have a lot of mentors that I'm so grateful for, of how they helped me and shaped me and really inspired me throughout my journey to getting here, and they continue to inspire me. I feel like a lot of my mentors, we share similar clinical or research interests, and that's kind of how I got connected with a few of them. And then the relationship has grown, and I've also just been really inspired by just their work outside of the clinical practice, just like how they mentor students, kind of things that they do outside of taking care of patients. So I feel like mentorship is very important for helping a student to get into dermatology, as well as just helping you kind of figure out your own career path in derm or even outside of derm.
Absolutely. And I know you mentioned to me that you did a fellowship with the NIH. Can you tell us a little bit about how you were able to obtain that opportunity and what made you want to do it?
Yeah, happy to share. So for me, I guess I think traditionally, I don't know if nowadays they still say, but a lot of people consider getting interested or involved in Durham by your third year as being late. And so that was really the time that I kind of declared my interest in Durham or started pursuing it more heavily. And so at the start of my third year, I was deciding I'm going to do Durham, I'm going to pursue it fully. And then I'd also been already considering taking a year to just kind of further explore my interests, clinical interests, as well as career interests. And so I had been going back and forth about doing research year or taking a year to do like another degree, like a master's program. And then in the end, talking with mentors, family, and just kind of considering my options, reviewing my CV, just considering all things, a research year did seem like the best option for me. And so fortunately, I had applied to a few research year programs, and I was very grateful to be accepted to the specific program I did at the NIH, is the Medical Research Scholars Program. So I was very grateful and honored to be accepted for that program. And then talking with my mentors and evaluating my options, it was a really great, if not the best, opportunity to choose. And so that's really how I decided on a research year. And then that's how I got accepted. And I was able to kind of review and understand kind of some of the projects that I might be doing during the year before actually engaging and taking the year. So I think that kind of helped me understand like this would be a worthwhile year in terms of just professional development, gaining research skills, as well as exploring a topic that I have an interest in.
Very interesting. And were you able to, was it related to hair research or anything dermatology related or?
Yes. Yeah. So at the NIH, they have, I don't know the specific number of branches, but a number of branches that do research on different topics. And so I was able to work with a dermatologist and the dermatologist there at the NIH. My projects, I did a few projects. So I helped with a book chapter, as well as a project looking at clinical trials and kind of the diversity that we see in trials and how are we displaying this diversity when we like list a trial, as well as a specific clinical project that is currently still being done. So I can't really say too much about it, but it was also related to a type of hair loss that I am passionate about. And I was very excited to participate and help with that project as well.
Oh, that's amazing that there were so many different things that you were able to accomplish there, and also that it was related to something that you're super interested in. And did you feel like this was something that really helped you on your interview trail, especially at NYU as you're interviewing there?
Yes, for sure. Excuse me. I feel like having done that fellowship, and taking just that year as well, I had said it really helped with personal as well as professional development. So gaining research skills, as well as just having more time to kind of consider my career as it includes research, as it includes other interests like mentorship and advocacy, and taking time to find mentors and network with other people in the field that I might be working with in the future. And so I feel like yes, it helped in the aspect of now I have research experience to show for. I did a research year and I have tangible things that I can list on ERAS to show for that. But it also just helped me kind of better understand how am I going to explain and talk about and kind of portray myself during the application season. What really is the future that I see me like taking a part in dermatology and what type of impact do I want to have on the field?
That makes a ton of sense. It can be very difficult to kind of develop and keep up on those interpersonal skills when you're just reading books all day as a medical student or you're on the wards, but then you go home at night and you keep studying. So it's nice to take some time in between. And I know some other friends that have done fellowships and they've really enjoyed that and felt like it was not only like a good change of pace, but also really advance their career. What were some other things, research or extracurricular related that you did during medical school to prepare you for your application cycle?
So research, most of my research, I would say, came from like, or can't, the period it occurred was during this research year. I did a few smaller projects and more of just community related projects, maybe a year or two before. I think my involvement in a few didn't even result in authorship, but still gaining experience in terms of like survey development and administration, which I think really still did help me in the future. Other things that really stuck out on my application and that I spent a lot of time doing in med school was mentorship is one of them. I had helped with a like district or campus-wide mentorship program, as well as started my own mentorship program that we would go to high schools in Kansas City for. And then a specific organization that I worked with pretty much all throughout med school was the Student National Medical Association, or SNMA. And so that's an amazing org that supports students coming from underrepresented and diverse backgrounds. And I'm fortunate that I feel like that organization, I feel like it helped me find a community and kind of have opportunities to build leadership skills, as well as like network and meet other people. And then I also tried to give back to that org with my specific involvements, either with mentoring younger students or helping fundraise to raise money for our group. So SNMA would probably be the biggest or the largest amount of time or biggest organization I spent a large amount of time with in med school. And then there are some smaller organizations that I also helped with. Like at our school, we have our student run free clinic. And so I was president of the organization that helped. We would buy and prepare food to hand out to the patients there. I think that's the most, I hate to forget something that I spent a lot of time on and cared about, but I think those are the few that stick out to me now and that I definitely remember spending a lot of time also discussing during the interviews.
That's super cool. I love that you did a lot of things, but it sounds like what you did is you did like a few things and you really got involved in those things. And I'm sure, I mean, I guess you can confirm this, but I'm sure that was something that people noticed on your interview trail, like, oh, wow, like you did things and you stuck with them and you were involved in things that you were passionate about. Was that kind of something you noticed?
Yeah, I think for me, I know when I'm discussing with people and then even discussing like when I did practice interviews, it's good when you're able to discuss and share an interest you have and the interviewer or whoever you're talking to can see it's a genuine interest just by how you discuss it and kind of the impact you're able to describe that you've had on the org or even the impact the org has had on you and kind of where you see either your involvement with that specific organization going in the future or how you can kind of interplay or wove like a specific part of that org into your career. So I would say it definitely helps to show longevity with a group or an organization, but I think it's not also a bad thing if you happen to join an organization like your third year or your fourth year. It's obviously better if you joined it your first or second year, but it's never too late to start an interest and kind of see where it can take you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, you found dermatology to be your specialty of choice in third year. And I think a lot of people find that. And that's, I think it's encouraging for people to hear who feel like, oh, I'm also interested in this, but maybe they feel like they're behind the eight ball because they've chosen it during third year. But, you know, it's more common than it is uncommon. At least my perception is that way. And so let's talk about third and fourth year, kind of those away rotations. Were you able to do any of those? And what impact did that kind of have on your application cycle?
Yeah, great question. I was able to do away rotations. And generally, I know I was talking with someone else about this recently, but I think generally you should try to do away rotations. I think for the most part, I know it can be scary. Just I know the terminology also used is an audition rotation, and it very much is when you're going to a place and either they know you or they don't know you too well, but they're evaluating really how you would be if you were their resident. Mm-hmm. So I think it can be scary, but I feel like there's a lot of positives that come with it. A number of my interviews did come from the way rotations I did. And so I can't say, I mean, it's hard to say if would I have got those interviews if I hadn't done a way there, especially with just how many people are applying to dermatology, and how many great, because everyone's a great stellar applicant who applies to derm. So just thinking mm-hmm. of ways to kind of distinguish yourself and set yourself apart. And then doing an away rotation, it also really helps you as well to see, like, I'm in the city now. Can I really see myself living here? I'm working with these residents now. Could I see myself? Granted, it's only probably the first year residents that you'll actually work with in the future, but still kind of the overall culture vibe. Is this something I could see myself like enjoying and being okay with in the future? Specific advice on how to do well on away rotations. Sorry, I feel like this might be your next question.
Yeah, no, go ahead. This is great.
But I'm jumping ahead, but I hate to lose my train of thought. So how I feel like they help me, and what I would recommend to do. The first one, generally, just trying to be friendly or amiable, like just have a pleasant, positive attitude, go there each day, ready to learn, okay with taking constructive criticism or any feedback, being welcome to receive it and taking it and using it to learn and do differently the next day. So having a good attitude. The second thing, really trying your best to pursue like academic excellence or just working the best you can. Nobody knows everything. And maybe there's some people who are, they're able to go on their way rotation and really not miss any questions, but most likely you might miss a question or two that someone asks you, and it's really okay. The only thing you can do is just work hard to make sure you don't miss that same question the next day. I would say that's a definite no, that if someone asks you a question one day, you for sure should know it the second day if you're asked again. So I would just say, do your best. For sure, you should try to read every night. And then if someone asks you something and you get it wrong, read up at least a page on that same topic so that there's no way that you could be asked the same thing tomorrow and get it wrong. And then tomorrow you might even be asked a similar thing because you read all about the topic. Now you've gotten it right. So with that, related to that, I would also say before starting your away rotation, the AED has those modules. I think it's called the basic curriculum or skin curriculum. I don't know if you know the name, Mark, but it's like some type of curriculum that the AED has. And so that for sure, you should have went through all those modules before starting any away rotation, because that's really just the basic general dermatology topics. And then one extra thing you can do related to that, that I personally didn't do, but I wish I had done, is just go through all specific dermatoses listed or conditions listed and try your best to write down how you would describe it with the primary and secondary morphology. I think that's one thing you can do that will probably really help you stand out, just because that's like the language of dermatology. So already developing that good foundation and understanding early on will benefit, even if it doesn't benefit you on the rotation, it'll benefit you in the future. And then third thing, what would I say is the third thing? I don't know. I don't think I have a third thing. I thought I had like three things to say specifically, but I think that's a lot of things I said already to help on rotations. Maybe my third thing would be like, obviously, like show up on time. I think that's a given. You shouldn't even just show up on time. You should show up early, like at least 10 to 15 minutes. I personally tend to run late to things, but for my away rotations, I did my best to show up at least 10 minutes before clinic or whatever started. And it just makes you look ready, that you're ready to kind of, oh, so that was the third thing I was going to say, just be ready to be flexible and adaptable, because you never know, you might have like a change in schedule or a change in clinic, or they need to move around rotators. Just be ready to take change and be flexible. I think people underestimate how much people can recognize and notice that, just because in life with anything, things can happen, things can change just randomly, and you need to be able to be flexible and adaptable. And I would say if I see a person that's able to just be flexible for a change, just on a whim, it looks really good. This person's able to really quickly adapt and get into system and make things work, because life is unpredictable. So
yeah, I really love those suggestions. And that's something I've kind of been wondering about, is like, how do you study to prepare for the rotation itself? Like, I know there's definitely like Anki decks out there. I'm sure that's something that people have thought of, but I love how you talked about like reading up on it. And then the basic dermatology curriculum. I haven't heard somebody talk too much about that. So I love that you brought that up. And what resources did you use to kind of read up on a condition? Were you just Google it, or would you go to like DermNet NZ, or like what was kind of your go-to resource?
Yes, good question. So I would say there's a resource that I think it depends on your institution, if you have access or you might have to pay for it, or they might still be giving free trials to students. But Visual DX is probably one of the best, I can't say it's the best, but one of the best resources to use. It's something you have as an app on your phone. It's so quick to reference, shows you pictures in all, well, not all skin tones, but they really try to have diverse images for most of the conditions listed there. And then just all the information they include there, the layout's really helpful. It kind of tells you like clinical clues, a differential, what you might misdiagnose this condition as. And then it also describes how the condition would look as well. So I feel like it's very helpful for derm residents, I know. Helpful for really residents of any field. It also includes conditions, non-derm conditions. So I'd say Visual DX, I use that for one of my rotations. I think most of mine. There's only one rotation that I think I wasn't able to use it because my trial had expired or my institution didn't have access, but I would definitely recommend that. And then if you don't have access to that, UpToDate's also pretty helpful. It doesn't always have images. I think most of their pages have images, but maybe not always. And then I don't think they always describe the lesions on there, but UpToDate, Visual DX. And then if you happen to have any of the textbooks, I don't think I had any of the textbooks, because the biggest ones is like Andrews and then Bologna. Sorry if I said that incorrectly, but those are the biggest ones that are like good references for residents. So I can't remember. I feel like I have those PDFs now, but I can't remember if I had them then to use them. I feel like I was mainly using Visual DX and UpToDate, and then just Google Church, and then probably DermNet as well, because I remember that website.
That's super great. I love that you shared all those resources, and shout out to Visual DX. I think we're gonna be running an ad for them soon anyway. So it flowed perfectly. Thank you. Another shout out to Visual DX. So
an official sponsor.
Yeah. But yeah, so kind of just get into a couple of the nitty gritty questions in regards to your rotations. I think something that students tend to wonder is just like, obviously there's no perfect number of away rotations. There's so many different ways to get into dermatology, but I think people do wonder like, how did this person find success? And could you just share like more the logistics, like how many rotations you did, and then like how you were able to kind of coordinate that with like just travel and living situations, etc.?
Yes, great question, because unfortunately with aways, they can be very expensive. You, like you said, you are living somewhere else for 2 weeks to a month at a time. So this involves having to find a place to stay, having to figure out how you're going to do transportation there, likely still paying for your lease in whatever city you're doing med school, while still, if you have family, also still trying to support them, or you might have to take, if you have a job, you also have to take a leave from your job. So there's a lot of things to consider when doing your rotations, unfortunately. And even also when doing a research year. So I would say for me, I was very grateful and fortunate to just have, I guess my logistics and planning for it was relatively simple or not as hard compared to some other stories that I've had. So for me, I did 3 away rotations. I can't say if there is a magic number for away rotations to do. I think nowadays there might be recommendations for limiting the number of away rotations you do, right? I don't know if you've heard that, Mark.
Oh, I'm not the expert on this, but
okay, I'm not either. I was just trying to go off what I think someone had asked and told me last summer, but I also can't remember. I know I think they were limited right after the pandemic. When I applied, it was like closer to the pandemic, maybe. I can't remember. But regardless, I would say there's no magic number. I feel like 3 was a good number for me. Personally, I feel like I would have been so exhausted if I had to do 4. And my 3 was actually like 2.5, because I did 1 2-week rotation. I would say if you can do 4-5, I think that's good. Like, I think that's good for you if you're able to do it. I personally would have been too exhausted. And like we had said before, it's like these away rotations are additions. So whatever you can handle that you won't be too exhausted and that you'll still be performing, not just at your best, but like at 100, 110%, just because you're wanting to show the best version of yourself. If you can handle doing that for 5 months or 4 months, then I think it might be a good thing. Especially, I came from a school that didn't have a home dermatology program. And I know there's a lot of other students who also are in this similar situation. And so a lot of times these away rotations are a way for us to just get our name out there so that people can recognize us, like I had said, and just kind of know who we are and look at us and hopefully pick up our application when it comes down to it. So, I mean, with that being said, I think the more programs that know your name, and as long as you're performing well and at your best, honestly, the better. But you also have to take into account how much money I took out loans in med school, so how much extra loans are you going to take out to pay for this? It can cost between $1,000 to $2,000 to live somewhere in these different cities. I know some other things I thought that were pretty cool or interesting that other people did is like trying to do away rotations, like trying to do multiple in the same city. I think maybe this girl told me this, that she had tried to do like maybe 2 in Boston. So then she was there for a 2-month period and like a lease would be cheaper for 2 months versus like 1 month here, 1 month here. Or even if you do 1 away in like a city that has a lot of programs, trying to see if like when you are completely like not scheduled to do anything, when you're free, seeing if you can meet with other programs, like either a doctor there that you've kind of connected with, or you have a similar clinical or research interest, or the program director, just kind of doing what you can to make the most of your experience in one city and maximize on that. I don't know. I don't think I have anything else. And then I know some programs, they do have scholarships. I think most of them are for students from underrepresented backgrounds, but that's always something to look into if you do fit into that category to help. And then I don't know if there's any other scholarships. You could also consider looking to see if the institution happens to offer just a general scholarship to kind of help. Or if you already like interested in research and doing research and kind of already have a mentor in the area, seeing if there's like a grant that you can apply for that could kind of help if you just go to that same institution and work with that doctor or other doctors there. I think that's all my advice. It's a tough question, Mark. I wish I had something better to say, but I would say generally minimum OA rotations you should do, if you, especially if you come from a school without a program, I would say 2 or 3. Maximum, as many as you can financially and mentally and physically handle, I would say.
Yeah, I love the advice. I think there's so many different ways to do everything, but I think you gave a bunch of different avenues that people can do to just alleviate that stress. As we kind of wrap up here, I just wanted to ask, before we get some general advice from you for students, just kind of like a little bit about applying. I know it can be kind of confusing for people, the whole transition year thing. So how did you navigate that on top of just all of your other applications for dermatology? How many transitional year programs did you apply to, and how did you choose those?
Yeah, great question. I know I can break down the terms just because I know I was confused, I think, honestly, up until application, of just about the difference with anything, with everything. So you have, so an intern year is for programs that have an advance, and advanced programs are just programs that it's a separate internship. So this is like dermatology, radiology, PMR, programs that it's like all together or categorical are typically like internal medicine, family medicine. I believe there's one, maybe two dermatology programs that are categorical. So if you match there, you'll be doing your intern year at their same institution. So you talked about categorical and then advance. And if you do an advance, you need an internship. And then from doing an internship, you can do your internship as a transitional year, a medicine prelim, surgical prelim, pediatrics prelim. And I think that's it. So I know there's a few people who end up doing pediatrics because they have an interest in peds derm, which makes sense. And then I think internal medicine, a med prelim, is the more common one, especially because there's more of them. And then a surgical internship, I personally do not know of any derm residents who've done that. But I guess if you really want to spend time honing your surgical skills, that could be a good one to do.
Yeah.
And then a transitional year is really nice and stuck out to me, just because of the opportunities for like different electives that you can do. So in my program, I was able to do like wound care. What other electives have I done? I'm going to do pathology. Why am I forgetting? I can't remember, but I'm also doing a research elective, where I've done one. So it's just nice to have other electives and opportunities outside of the traditional, like the medicine electives, which are like nephrology, and I did nephrology here, and then like cardiology, hepatology. It's nice to have other things to be able to do. And then my specific program, it was nice as it's like closer to my family. Like I have family in the area, and then this is a lot closer to my actual, like, close, my parents, compared to, like, if I did an internship in Kansas City or in other programs that I was looking at.
Yeah, that's super cool. And I really like how you explained the benefits of doing a transitional year, like, in the sense that you were able to do wound care, which relates to dermatology, and same with pathology. So that's really cool. I've never thought about that or heard that before. Before we close up here, do you have any just general advice, things that you would say, oh, I wish I knew this, to give to students?
General advice. I'll give advice related to research years, just because this is also a common question I get. So with the research year, I would say, in terms of if you're going back and forth on choosing it, the first thing I think you should do is talk to your mentors, or find a mentor, talk to somebody, I would ask somebody in dermatology to really review your CV so far, your application. This can be as a second year or third year. Let them review your application and kind of just tell you, like, where do you stand, how competitive you are. And then if they do tell you you're like missing in research or overall your application's not the strongest, then I would consider strongly taking a research year. And then from there, if you're still going back and forth or just kind of deciding which specific program, I would talk to other mentors who don't have to be derm related, talk to family, talk to upper years, and kind of just consider your whole experience. When deciding on a research year, the factors we talked about with like away rotations are also pretty much relevant, like in terms of financial taking a year. Some research years pay less than others. And then specific benefit, if you do it at a program you're interested in and something happens, then who's to say, like, maybe they'll give you an interview, but who's to say you have a strong chance of actually matching there? That's also something to think about with away rotations. I should have said that, but yeah, I would say just think about those big things when deciding about a research year. How strong is my application? And then what are my mentors telling me? What do I hope to gain from this, like research interest or professional development? And then just use that to really help you guide your decision. It's not a decision you should make in a day or in a few days. Just take your time and decide on it. And then otherwise, general advice, if you think you like derm, you should go for it. Who knows? You might make it. And I mean, even if you don't make it your first time, apply a second time. If it's something you really want to do, I believe that you should go at it with all of your heart, work your hardest, and then don't count yourself out. Just work your hardest and do the best you can, and what's supposed to happen will certainly happen.
Amazing. Thank you so much. You provided a great framework. I really liked the advice about if you should take a research year. I think that was really, really useful. One last question. I apologize. I wanted to ask this earlier. Did you do your away rotation at NYU, or did you just happen to match there because of an amazing interview and everything else that you've done?
Yeah, so I was fortunate. I worked on research with a few investigators or physicians at NYU, but I did not do an actual away there.
Super cool. I think that's helpful for people to hear, just because sometimes people feel like, oh, if I don't do an away rotation there, this is the place I want to go, I might not match.
And it's like the other thing to think about, I don't know if I'd said it, but was just like, if you do really, really, like, you already know this program's your number one, you might also not do an away there, just because, I mean, there's a lot of people who are very likable and always great, but you never know, like, is it going to be 20 days I'm working there, then on the 19th day I'm working with the chair, and that's when I, like, stepped in the mud, and like, the power was out, and so now I'm tired and grumpy, and, you know, you just never know what's going to happen. So I think that's also something I thought about in choosing my ways, like, where do I really, really want to go? And what are my chances of messing up there? But all my ways, I did want to go to those programs. So
that's awesome. I think it's just all these things provide a good framework. I'm sorry for backpedaling. I won't, before I backpedal again,
yeah.
We'll wrap up. But thank you so much for going over this with us. Here you have it, Dr. Christy Nwanko. And yeah, hopefully somebody listening to this podcast will see you at NYU in a couple of years.
Yeah. And if there's any questions, you can follow my Insta. It's just at it's Dr. Christy. So ITSDRCHRISTY. And I usually respond to my DMs pretty quickly, as long as I'm not on a busy rotation, but I'm always happy to answer any other questions there.
That's so kind of you. We'll put that in the show notes as well, if you're okay with that. And
yeah,
that's great. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the DIGA podcast. We hope you enjoyed. Please send us any questions or comments to derminterestpod@gmail.com.
This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.